Well, let's go to Daniel 11. Again, on Sunday night right now, I'm not on a series. I've thought many times it'd be good to be on a series, but I kind of like this where I can just pray and have the Holy Spirit really take me wherever He wants me to go. Sunday mornings we're on that series that I'm just absolutely loving. And I can't stop telling everybody about it. I just literally can't. If they ask, sometimes they don't have to ask. I'll just tell them what we're talking about on Sunday mornings because I believe it's that life changing. But in the evenings, we just get to kind of go where the Holy Spirit has us, leads us. We've talked about momentum. We've talked about joy. We've talked about different areas. And tonight I just feel is really a foundational, thing. Thought the Holy Spirit was just talking to me about Friday or yesterday was one of the two. But I got this as our text, and really I started typing and going through written notes, and then I kept using a word. So when I used that word, I looked up the scripture in the Bible that uses that word, and I said, it's funny how I was like, This is my foundational. This is what I'm talking about. But in Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, it says this, and this is just is such an awesome scripture. Daniel 11, 32. And such as do wickedly against covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people who do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And again, I kept using, and I'm going to, I'll read through some lines here that I typed out to start with, and I kept using this word exploits. I have, when you think of men of God in the Bible, the ones who did great exploits, it's a long list of them, men and women. When God uses you, when God's in you and operating in you, you do great exploits. It was about then I kept hearing this word exploits. I go, why am I using the word exploits? I don't use the word exploits. It's not my normal vocabulary. And then when I read Daniel 11, I knew where I was getting the word exploits because that was coming straight from the heart of God. Because He said, but the people that know their God will shall be strong and do exploits. Do great things. This promise, this declaration, beloved, isn't just for the men and women of the Bible. I mean, they're there given to us for an example, but they're for you and I. They're for, who are they for? Those who know the Lord. Those who know the Lord. Now, again, it doesn't say, and I know some of you are going, well, Pastor, that is Old Covenant. There was no born again. But it doesn't say those who are born again will do exploits. Well, what? Isn't that us? No. But see, there's a lot of people born again, but really don't know the Lord. They know of Him. They've accepted Him as their Lord and Savior. They go to churches that are dry. They don't spend any time on their own, and they really don't know Him. So it doesn't say for those that are born again, they'll do exploits. Because quite honestly, there's a lot of Christians and a lot of people that go to churches that are not doing any exploits. They're living average lives. Matter of fact, they're having a whole lot of exploits done against them. See, God wants us running through troops, leaping over walls. He wants us to be men and women with testimonies. He wants us to be men and women who when the enemy comes in like a flood, we raise up a standard against them. That's what He wants from us. He wants you and I, He wants the body of Christ to know Him so they can do exploits. Doesn't say in Daniel, those that know about God will do exploits. It's irritating to me how people, a lot of people know about God. And people that don't have never stepped through the door of the church or haven't stepped through the door of the church such a long, they know all how God operates. I know you guys never run into that, do you? At your jobs where everybody is like, well, you know what they say, you know what God says. I never heard him say that. Where did he? I've prayed for people, and one person came up to pray, asked prayer, just outside of church service, and they asked for prayer, and they informed me of something that God said, and I just looked at him, and I there's sometimes I get boldness, and where I just want to be just blunt with them. But usually I try to hint and say, well, here's what we need to understand. And I'll just say it nicely. But one of these days I'm going to, where does it say that at? What are you talking about? The Bible doesn't say that. Amen. Because they know how God works. God is love. Well, yeah, God's love. But because of love, he doesn't just willy-nilly do things. Prosperity will destroy a fool. Amen. So it's just not those that know about God, have mental assent about him, that'll be strong and know exploits. Beloved, the key to doing great things. And I believe it's going to be the key to seeing faith being effective. The key to all of it is knowing your God. Intimacy with him. Time with him. This morning, I was talking about in the offering. I was talking about how people want to separate and make it two separate entities, giving and receiving. I've heard people say this so much. Is that because their effort is to be derogatory towards the prosperity gospel, and they'll say, "I give, but I never give to get anything." And again, it's like I don't ever give to get anything, and then that's their little hat, their little thing that they hang their hat on. It is that I don't give to get anything. Now again, I told you this morning that that's the wrong motive, to be selfish and to be self-centered. It's the wrong motive in giving anything. Is to be selfish, but you don't have. See, that's the thing, is that you don't have to go, I need something, so I'm going to give. Because you don't have to do that. All you need to do is fall in love with things, fall in love with people, and so, and in connection with seed is harvest. You cannot, the Bible does not separate seed time and harvest. Does not, I shared the scriptures with just a couple scriptures this morning. Whatsoever you give, it says give, and it'll be given unto you. Whatsoever things you reap, or sow, you'll reap. They go hand in hand. He doesn't differentiate. The farmer goes out to sow, rises night and day, doesn't know how the seed works, and then goes in and harvests. It's the same thing. He doesn't list one without the other. So you don't have to be. You don't have to have a selfish bone in your body. You fall in love with God and fall in love with His people, and you put money into action, and they go hand in hand. To go around with that false humility operating in your life going, I'm not believing for anything. I'm not given to receive anything. No, you need to give and expect a return. Exclamation point. Now, I said that because I was thinking about it tonight. I was sitting over here in praise and worship, and the Holy Spirit was showing me that that's the way it is with exploits. Is that on each and every one of us, God has a gifting and calling, and hopefully we'll get to it tonight. I don't plan this being a series. I just really, this is growing in me as I'm speaking. That in each and every one of us, God's called us to do exploits. He's not called you to be an average Christian. He's not called you just to be your everyday run-of-the-mill person that goes to work and rises night and day and fills a position at your job. He's not called you to be just, you know, the person that works next to the person who works next to the person or works under the person. He's called you to do exploits. And he says, if you know me, if you know the Lord your God, if you know me, You will be strong and do exploits. It's there. The more acquainted you become with Him, the more accessible you are and the more ready you are to do exploits. Oh, Pastor, that's outside of my... But see, here's the thing. And here's what I want you to get in you before we really get going on this area, is that when you get to know Him, your heart begins beating like His heart. The things that He sees are as important, now you see as important. And where you used to be able to sit and watch somebody hurting, you no longer can sit, you no longer sit and watch someone hurting. You must do something. You must, even if it's a prayer, even if it's just simple, hey, can I pray with you real quick? But that's what makes you accessible to do exploits. So, in the same way that you cannot separate... Are you ready to get challenged tonight? Amen. In the same way that you cannot separate giving and receiving, they're the same, part of the same thing. You cannot separate knowing Him and doing exploits. The more you know Him, the more susceptible you are to doing exploits. A lot of times we find ourselves in situations and we begin seeking the answer. We begin going through this thing and saying, I need this, I need this, I need this. We're missing it. I count myself not to have apprehended, but one thing I do, I press towards the prize for the mark. Yeah. But see, what happens is that we get pressing towards the prize. And we're pressing towards the wrong thing. My people that know me, that are pressing towards the mark, that are pressing into me, pressing into the Word, pressing into my glory, pressing into more of me, the people that know me will get the prize. They will do exploits. It goes hand in hand. Hallelujah. I got going on this just as... wiggling in my chair last night, it got big. Let's go to Exodus 33. Because when you look at somebody who did some exploits, and I'm telling you what, he did some exploits. Moses. Moses did some exploits. I tell you what. Manna. And you go, no, that was God. Who talked to God about it? To feed millions of Israelites in the wilderness. Listen, man, I've tried to feed hundreds of people or tens of people, and it's a job just to feed a million people. But see, his faith, what he did exploits. He fed them with manna. He fed them with quail. He provided water from a rock two different times. He turned bitter water into sweet water with a tree. He split the Red Sea in half. Now, these are just some of them. This isn't even to talk about the 10 plagues that happened. Again, some of you going, well, Pastor Thad, that was God that did that. Yeah, I know. I'm not foolish enough to think that I'm healing anybody. But when I know my God, I know greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. I know that He's in me, on me, over me, and everything about me. And so when I speak to something, He's speaking through me. And the very God of the universe that spoke the world into His existence is speaking healing into your body and speaking life into the things that I'm speaking life into. And so though I am speaking it, though it's coming through my mouth, and though I am doing exploits, He's the giver. So don't think I'm being goofy in this. Moses did exploits. Now, why did he do these exploits? Did he do it just because he was the called man? He was called by God, and if he didn't do it, who was going to do it? Did he do these things just because he was the leader of the pastor and his gifting was more important than everybody else and he was in charge of 3.5 million Israelites in the middle of the desert? Did he do it just because God felt sorry for the people and he learned to getting God to feel sorry for the people? You understand? That's the funny thing is the people just knew what God did. And so they always felt like their whining got God to move. But Moses got God to move. And again, I say that loosely, in other words, because we know God's already moved on our behalf. But Moses knew God. And he was responsible for what God did, the exploits that happened. So none of these are a reason why. Look, Exodus 33, I think, is the best place for us to understand why Moses did great exploits. Now again, I had a lot of this kind of stuff down here already done, and then God gave me this evening Daniel 11. So you want to talk about God putting this together? Because when I read that, you know my God, you'll do exploits. Let's read here. Exodus chapter 33, verse 8. And it came to pass, when Moses went unto the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door. Now remember, this was not the big tabernacle. This was a makeshift one that they had put in the center of the camp. Before then, just in order to have a place to meet God, to talk with God. So as it came to pass, verse 9 again, as Moses entered the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and the door and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And verse 9, here I'm gonna focus on a couple things that it said. And the Lord talked with Moses. That struck me. Now we'll keep reading there, but just notice this: the Lord talked with Moses. Verse 10. And all the people saw this, the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped every man at his tent door. And the Lord spoke unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. Again, are you catching something here? He that knoweth the Lord will be strong and do exploits. The Lord talked to Moses, verse 11, the Lord spoke unto Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Sounds to me like Moses knew the Lord. Let's go on, verse 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, he's talking to Moses, this is a friendship, this is knowing. See, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, now I love this, God told him, that thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. This is what God has said, I know thee by name. Hallelujah. Now therefore I pray thee, if I found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee. What's he after? I want to know thee. I want to know your ways. Show me your ways. Show me. I want to know. I want to know your details. I want to know how I'm going to do this thing. I want to know what I need to do. I want to know where I need to go. He gets a little bit more into that, but man, notice the passion that he has for what? Knowing God. Knowing him. Knowing his ways. That I might find grace in his sight and consider this nation as thy people. Verse 14. And he said, God said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And Moses said unto him, I love this, I love this, this is it. This is how passionate he was to know God. If your presence go not with me, don't let me go. I ain't going anywhere. I'm staying right smack dab here. I'm setting up camp here. I'll die here. I ain't going anywhere if your presence isn't with me. Is that not a man that's passionate about knowing God? Verse 16, for wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? so shalt we be separated, I and thy people, from all people that are on the face of this earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. I love it. He repeats that to him. I know you by name. This is a knowing. This is a back and forth knowing. And so verse 18, what does he say? Does he let it go? No, he says, I beseech thee, show me, reveal to me, let me see your glory. Let me see your goodness. Verse 19, Jesus, God said, I will make my goodness pass before thee. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious to those to whom I will be gracious. Show mercy on whom I show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there's a place beside me in the rock. Cover me. He showed him his hinder parts, which really I think most people believe now that what he showed him was Genesis. From the time of creation, he began revealing himself, the goodness of God in him. But notice what we see time and time again in this conversation. Moses' passion and desire to know him, to know his ways, to know the intricacies of God, to know him in an intimate manner, to know the secrets, to know what makes him tick, to know what he loves and what he wants, to know, and then to say, I ain't moving if you don't go with me. Is it any wonder? Now I was thinking about this, and Moses had the accolades early in life because he was raised in Pharaoh's house. And how many people would sit there and go, Moses is naturally the one that we would see bring us out. You know, isn't that not, you know, and he would be the natural one that would bring us out of here, because look at his position. He could be in there, he could overthrow him from inside, or he could ask him to do a favor. And he tried it. Remember, he tried it? But it wasn't through his education, his position. It wasn't until he went on the backside of the desert for 40 years. Then God met him at the burning bush. And he began to know him. That the exploit started. Some of you out there can say, Pastor Thad, I don't have that great of a resume. Some of you might be, no, Pastor Thad, I'm, you know, my working days are over. I'm retired. Pastor, you know, like I've talked about this morning, I've made some mistakes, so I've shifted. Or Pastor Thad, I just really don't believe that's supposed to be me. I'm supposed to be here. No. You don't have to have accolades to succeed. You just have to know God. And when you know Him, when you learn to get intimate with Him, that time alone with Him, it'll be impossible for you not to do exploits for others and in your own life. Amen. How about one more in Psalm 103, just to show this, and this is one that we refer to a lot. Psalm 103, verse 7. And again, this is what was just said here, right? He made known his ways to Moses. So Moses knew the intricacy of who God was and his acts to the children of Israel. Moses knew how God ticked. And so he did great exploits, and the children of Israel enjoyed the benefits. Amen? But see, this only comes to that intimacy with him. I know Pastor Elise is reading a book, one of them, what's her name? I know, what's the name of the lady? Heidi Baker, someone that Pastor Apostle Callahan was mentioning. And she said it's challenging her because it's all about intimacy. It's all about relationship. It's all about knowing Him. And as I was getting to this, I started thinking, man, that goes hand in hand with what God's talking to Apostle about, talking this, and this is just what... But see, that's what God wants to build, that intimacy, that oneness with Him. Why? Because we're not going to change this world by us being average. We're going to change this world by us doing exploits. Go to Philippians chapter 3. Because Paul had the same mentality. Now again, Paul was a man who did some exploits. He had some exploits that he saw happen in his life. And there's a reason. Philippians chapter 3. Let's start reading verse 7. I'm starting here simply because of what I shared about Moses, about his accolades. Paul says in verse 7, Philippians 3, 7, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of a knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." Now notice this, and I'm just going to start here, is that he had a big resume. I mean, he learned at the greatest teacher's feet. He was the Hebrew of Hebrews, it says. I mean, he had a resume that made everybody else feel inferior. And he said, none of that matters. Because I want Christ. I want to know Him. And we'll get to that in a moment here. He said, none of that matters. I count all that position. He went to school and he learned this and he learned that and he learned all he memorized the Pentateuch and knew, prophecies. He memorized all that kind of stuff. He knew all that kind of stuff, but it didn't help him when God started doing exploits through him. There's not one of those things that helped him to do exploits. What helped him do exploits? That he knew God. He knew Christ. He wanted Christ. That's all he wanted. That's what helped him do exploits. Amen? I'm not saying that we don't... If you get titles, if you get... You know, I don't have a PhD. I have a bachelor's degree. I believe bachelor's of science in pastoral studies, which that and a quarter... And I can't say a quarter anymore. That and a dollar will get me a cup of coffee. Hallelujah. It doesn't seem that impressive when you go for job interviews for different things. And you know, I got a bachelor's of pastoral studies. Who cares? That's not going to do anything. But I've got that. I grew up in church. I'm a pastor's kid. I grew up in a pastor's home. I've got resume. But that resume doesn't do anything unless I know Him. And that's where my exploits flow out of, is knowing Him. Because look, go on, verse 9. He says, "And be found in Him, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him. And the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, that I may know Him." The only thing I want is to know Him. I can tell you what this Hebrew word means, what this Greek word means, what this Aramaic word means. I can give you more information than you'll ever need in the world. None of that will change your life. What will change your life is Him. And that's all I want. And what will change your life through me is that I know Him. And the power of His resurrection, fellowship of His suffering, knowing Him. In Ephesians chapter 1, he prays it. He prays it to the church at Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 1. I don't even know what time it is. Okay, good. Hallelujah. This just challenged me. I'm sitting, I like this because I want to do exploits. And again, I'm not saying that being taught, because again, when pastor's teaching, or when Pastor Lisa's teaching, or when there's things going on, you're knowing him. You're becoming more acquainted with him. But as much as you're becoming acquainted with him when we're teaching, it's that intimacy where he becomes your God, where he becomes your. The Apostle Paul promised, spoke to the church at Philippi and said, "My God shall supply all your needs." And again, we know it had to do with the relationship, the giving and receiving relationship between the two, but he knew his God. And so he knew his God was a big enough God to take care of it. Ephesians 1, are you there? Hallelujah. Verse 16. The Apostle Paul says, "I don't cease, I just don't stop giving thanks for you." That's what I said to you earlier in this. I never stop giving thanks for you guys. Every day I start off my day just giving thanks for the body of believers here and who you are and what God's doing through us and what who He's equipped me with. But he says, I'll stop giving thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Semicolon, and here's what I pray for you. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So now we've read this before. We've gone over this before. There's four things he asked God for them. Four things that'll make a difference in their lives. And before he gets to anything about them, as far as their gifting, their callings, their power, what they've inherited, before he gets to any of that kind of stuff, he says, "The number one thing that I need you to know." And again, notice this, how this is almost separated. It's almost like one and the rest of it is 2A, 2B, 2C. Because he says, I make mention of your prayers that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, the knowledge of him, that you'll understand who he is, that you'll know him, you'll know his secrets, you'll know his ways, you'll know his thoughts, you'll know his plans, you'll know what makes him tick, you'll know what makes him happy, you know what brings him joy, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. So in other words, the first one is there, and then he flows the other three together, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you know what the hope of his calling. In other words, what he's called you to, what he's planned for you, the riches of his glory and his inheritance of the saints, what he's provided for you, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the power, his mighty power, or what through him you can do, the power that you have in him. That is number one. All the other three things, to know who you are, to what you've been called to know what has been given to you, to know the power that can flow through you, to know all that kind of stuff flows out of that first one, to know him. He doesn't say here that, I desire that you know the power that you have. I desire for you to know the inheritance that is yours. I desire for you to know what you've been called to. And then somewhere down the line, I desire for you to know who God is. Because, beloved, you will never truly understand your gifting and calling. You will never truly understand what you've been given. You'll never truly understand the power that you have if you don't know him. Because if you don't know, those that know the Lord, our God, will be strong and do exploits. It starts there. Everything else flows out of that. When you know God, he'll reveal to you, he'll show you what you've been called to. The purpose. I have in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, talking about Jesus. It says, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our accolades, resume. Not according to our resume, our works, but according to his purpose and his ability in us, what he's empowered us to do. I like that. He's called us to a very specific and holy calling, not according to our resume, but according to the purpose and the grace of Him. And when you know Him, have you noticed the more you know Him, the tighter, how He tightens the rein on your calling, your gift? The less you know, when you're not spending much time with Him, you'll start thinking, man, I could do this, and I could do that, and I could do the other. And what if I got going over here and doing this? And then the more time you spend with Him, all that peripheral, you know, it's the blinders, you know, that horse where you're going, hey, look, man, I could go over there in the crowd, or I could go over there in the green pastures. Oh, no, hold it. I just see the racetrack in front of me. The more you know Him, the more He tightens it up. Why? Because that's where your gifting, that's where your increase, that's where your prosperity lies, is in that purpose and in that calling. The more you know Him, the more that you become aware. Isn't it something, the more you get in the Word of God, how that light comes on regarding your healing, regarding your prosperity, regarding relationships, you're like, hold it, I'm not supposed to be living this way. Hold it, this isn't God's best for me. Hold it. Yeah. How many times have you ever been where you're really alone with Him and that thought comes, you hold it a second. Hold it. What am I doing? Right? Why? Because the more you know Him, the more direct you become in what's been given to you. And the more you know Him, that last one, I like that. The more you'll do exploits. Why? Because it's a natural flow. It's a natural flow of knowing Him. And but I tell you, if anything describes the calling of this church, this body of believers, I would say exploits. God wants us to do exploits. He doesn't want us just to fill a spot in Moorhead, Kentucky, and pay some bills and make sure the electric company gets some money and make sure that we keep certain curriculum places in stock, you know, in business by, you know, buying stuff from them. He's not one that's just, He wants us to know Him so we can do exploits. And again, that's what we do here. That's what we fill this place up with, and we should fill this place up with. But beloved, to know somebody. Each of us that are married in this place went through a period of time where you dated somebody, and you'd try to spend as much time as you could with them, and you would, you'd maybe stay out really late, sitting in the car or sitting next to each other on the couch or whatever, as late as you could stay out. And then they'd have to go home, and then you'd go to sleep, and you'd go through your day and maybe try to get together that night again to spend that more time with them. But you really don't know anybody until you get married. Because now they're there all the time. Now you see her when she wakes up and isn't all made up. Now you hear him when he's sleeping and sawing logs. And now you're aware of their real bathroom patterns, right? Now you really know them because of the daily time with them. And beloved, you can learn a lot about God by that weekly message. What we get here in one service is probably the equivalent of what most churches get. And I will say, I'll be kind here, in a month. And again, it's a lot of word, but I'm talking about 1 hour of message. Most churches are getting 20 minutes or so. And again, some of you are going, 20 minutes, that's not a bad, no. But then what we get is pretty deep, is pretty strong. So what we're getting is good. we're getting to know Him by what God's revealing to us. But if you go home these next 2 days before Wednesday and don't spend time with Him, it's just, there's a lot of things that you're missing. If you go home from Wednesday night service and spend Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, again, not spending time with Him, there's a lot of things you're missing, a lot of secrets you're missing. And God's wanting us to understand that if Grace Fellowship of Moorhead knows Him, Grace Fellowship of Moorhead will be strong and do exploits. And that's how this city will be changed for the glory of God. Amen. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. It just encouraged me so much when I started reading through that. I was writing scriptures down. And then this evening, I had a weird afternoon. Ryan was in Virginia this weekend, and so they were part of a tournament that played on Saturday and then Sunday, which is different. But so because they lost yesterday, he played at noon. So that's why Jesse and I, shook a few hands, kissed a few babies, and hightailed it out of here so we could watch the game. And had a great time. We watched it. He had 24 points today and was voted to the all-tournament team, only guy from his team. So he had a really good weekend. And then Allison was home, and she was fighting something this morning. So she was laying around, and Mama made her some chicken noodle soup and stuff, and she wanted to watch Friends on our Netflix, on our TV. So instead of my regular scheduled nap, I'd watched Time with Ryan, and then text him a little bit, and then I was getting ready to go to bed, go to sleep, and she had on had on Friends, and so we're laughing, Allison, Jessica, and myself are all laughing there, and so I think I got a small little nap, and then I finally thought, this is useless, me sitting here trying to get more of a nap. So I got up and went and sat down. But as I sat down, man, it was just flowing out of me. I was like, it's awesome to me how God sets certain things up. And I'm ready for exploits. Amen. But that's going to come through that intimacy. Again, intimacy doesn't mean that we're just that we're praying to ask Him for stuff. That there's part of that in intimacy. Pastor Lisa will ask Neil things. Ask Neil for things. Ask Neil, hey, could you stop by and get this? Hey, could you? Because that's an intimacy. But that doesn't come because, well, it could come because Neil's afraid of her. But it doesn't come because of the authoritative part of it. It comes because Neil knows that Elisa would stop by and pick something up for him in a heartbeat. It's the relationship that's there. And again, that's where a lot of Christians, they spend their time when they're with God asking instead of spending their time. Just spending their time. Have you ever just sat, and I think many of you probably have, with everything turned off, and just you and God, just you sitting there, not talking necessarily to Him, just sitting there, eyes closed. That's dangerous, eyes closed. Maybe sitting on your back porch, just looking and just maybe thanking Him for things. Just being gentle, speaking in tongues. And just with Him. See, that's where that intimacy grows. And that's what God's calling us to. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Word. And I love this. This was so awesome, and You never cease to amaze me because the ways You give me messages and the ways they're developed, And you know, when I know I'm on the right line, I start going down that line, and then you'll take and you'll give, and it's beyond me. I'm thankful that I've been called to participate in that. It's awesome. But Father, I don't want this to be something that we are just, that's cool. I like that, Pastor. That's neat. That's great. Lord, let this be something that grabs our heart, that we understand like we've never understood anything before. It's time for exploits. It's time for exploits. But there's only one way to see exploits manifested, and that's by knowing you. That's by knowing and experiencing you in your fullness. I don't want to go anywhere where you don't go. I don't want to step anywhere that you don't want me to step. If your presence doesn't go, I want to sit in my chair at home, sit in my stool at home, sit wherever I can sit, and just, I'm waiting here for you, Lord. Because I just want you to lead me, to direct me, to where I know you, I know your voice, I know your ways, so that we can see this city changed. Our friends, our families, our neighbors, see them changed by your glory and your power because of the exploits that come from us, through us. We love you. We love you so much. Let this become our passion from this point on. And for many of us, this has been a passion. But let us yield to it more than we've ever yielded to it in our past. To know you. That's the beginning. That's the end. And the in-between is full of exploits. We love you. We thank you. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.